Save WICC 600 in your presets, and you'll never miss anything Lisa has to say. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
We could float among the stars together, you and I.
For we can fly. Up, up and away.
Hello and welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Part of that extraordinary sound was created by our next guest, Florence LaRue, who rose to fame and fortune as part of the Fifth Dimension, which was one of the great, great acts that created such amazing music throughout the 60s and 70s. And of course, Florence LaRue herself as a singer has been active in many performances worldwide ever since her affiliation with that wonderful group. She has written a book called Grace in Your Second Act, A Guide to Aging Gracefully. Welcome to the show, Florence. Hello.
Good morning, Miss Lisa, and shalom.
Shalom, shalom to you too. I read your book, Florence. Thank you for sending me your book. It was actually, you know, so much of the messaging in your book is reinforced in the last 10 days of the high holiday of the Jewish season. So much about reflection and positivity and attitude.
Yes.
And faith. Your faith winds and weaves throughout your life as well.
Yes, it does. It really does. And I'm just really looking forward to a year of just hope and positivity.
So you are amazing. So Florence, I want to ask you the question that I think it's a fair question since the title is A Guide to Aging Gracefully. Florence LaRue, how old are you?
February 4th, I will gracefully celebrate my 80th birthday.
It's a biggie. Mazel tov. It's a biggie. Yeah, it's coming.
I always tell my age because I want to encourage people, especially women, that age is just a number. And if you take care of yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually, you can enjoy your second act and live, not just exist.
Oh, that's clear. I mean, your attitude, your positivity just is throughout this entire book, Grace in Your Second Act. And you're very specific about the tips for beauty on the outside and beauty on the inside. I actually wanted to ask you a couple of things about this. First of all, you said during your first 10 years as a member of the Fifth Dimension, you weighed 110, you wore a size 2, and then you were around 120, a size 6 or 8, and you think your ideal is between 115 and 125. These are all, by the way, very thin weights for the average person in America. The average woman in America weighs a lot more than that. But you talk about...
Well, you have to remember, I'm only 5'2".
Yes, I understand that. But nonetheless, I mean, if you saw the obesity stats, you would see you're still very much on the thin side. And you talked about how you've been active your whole life. I mean, you were a champion athlete. You've always been active. You said you were a gym rat, even when you were on tour. I would like to know, where do you think you got that zeal for physical workouts? Because a lot of people don't have that, Florence. They don't. They don't want to work out. Where do you think you get that from?
I think I really got it because I enjoy physical activity. Now, as a child, I was the only Black in my school because of where I lived. I lived in a neighborhood that was mostly Italian, and the white neighborhood and the Black neighborhood were separated by a street. I lived on the side of the street of the white neighborhood, so I ended up going to a white school. And being the only Black, one way of being accepted was to excel. So I became very good at sports. I played varsity basketball, even at 5'2". I ran track. I played the field hockey. And I found that I really enjoyed physical activity. My mother also encouraged me to keep busy, being an only child for 10 years. She kept me busy with activities such as ballet. I studied ballet, and I was just always very active, and I enjoyed it.
Where did you grow up? In New Jersey?
I grew up in No, I was born in New Jersey, but my mother left when I was 6 months old. I grew up in the beautiful town of Glenside, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. And I still miss the East Coast.
Oh, we're still here. Oh. We haven't gone anywhere. We like it, though. I really love living on the East Coast, I have to say.
I come as often as I can.
Yeah. And have you made your life in L.A.? Is that where your sort of life has been?
I must say that I do enjoy the weather here. I've been here over 50 years. And but I miss the change of season. And, you know, I miss the people on the East Coast. I have found, and I don't mean to knock the West Coast, but I found that the people on the East Coast seem to be more family-oriented, more neighborly. There are people here in Los Angeles that live in apartments and don't know their neighbors.
Oh, but that's the same thing in the East. Are you kidding me? You know, I think when I lived in Manhattan, of course, that was a long time ago now, I think people in my building prided themselves on never knowing who their next door neighbor was. I think it was like a thing of pride. They felt like if they could close their door, they could shut the city out, and they didn't want to know who their neighbors were. It's crazy, but it's true.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, but in my own little neighborhood, but in my suburban life of Westport, I'm very into my community, like big time, like really big time. Have you ever been at the Playhouse, by the way, Florence? Have you ever performed at the Westport Country Playhouse?
No, we haven't. Not yet.
You should. You'd love it. You'd love it.
Is it large or is it?
The Playhouse, I should know this, right? I'm going to guess it's about 400 to maybe less. The Westport Country Playhouse was founded in 1931. It does a lot of live theater.
Oh, wow.
And it's a great place. And in fact, I was just there not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, because they did some PBS specials there. And so they had Gavin Creel and they had some other performers there. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, well, I'll have to mention that to my manager.
Oh, you should. Oh, yeah, you should. We'd love to have you in Westport. Oh, yeah. So, Florence, I want to ask you... I was reading this, and you were talking about Lena Horne, and I want to ask you why and how Lena Horne became one of the women, one of the people that you really idolized and admired. Tell me about that.
Actually, Lena Horne was the first Afro-American performer I ever saw. My mother took me to see her in New York. And as a matter of fact, my mother said I was only about, less than 10 years old. And I stood up on the seat and said, "Shake, Lena, shake," when she was singing and embarrassed her. Years later, I took my mother to Carnegie Hall to see Lena Horne, and Miss Horne was so gracious. After the show, she actually came out of her dressing room and took photos with my mother and me. And I just really admire that because, you know, so many people that we admire, I know one person who I shall not name. I was a great admirer of, and after her show, I went back, and she wouldn't even just say hello. And at the time, the Fifth Dimension was quite large. But Miss Horne was always very, very gracious, as were Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra.
Yes, I saw Lena Horne when she did her one-woman show on Broadway in the early 1980s. And I was in the front row of the mezzanine. It was one of the most extraordinary top five nights in theater in my life.
We may have been at the same show. She wore that beautiful blue dress.
Oh, unbelievable. And she sang Stormy Weather twice. Do you remember? Once she sang it to end the first act, and then she sang it again in an unbelievable rendition in the second act. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I sing Stormy Weather in our Fifth Dimension show. And recently I saw the movie with her in it on Turner Classic Movies just last week.
I missed it. But I love her. And I've seen the movie. I just missed it last week. I'm a big Turner Classic Movie fan. In fact, we were talking about the passing of Jane Powell earlier in the show because she lived in Wilton, which is right next to my town. And one day, Florence, I was dancing at the Wilton Y in my normal aerobics class, and she showed up and did aerobics next to me. Jane Powell! I was like, are you kidding me? And no one else in the room knew who it was because they're all ignorant. And I was like, oh, my God, do you realize in our room is one of the great MGM legends of all time, and she was kicking and doing her thing, and she was in her 80s.
Did you get her autograph?
I didn't want to impose, but I did I did not get her autograph. What I did afterwards is I said that I knew who she was because she was very anonymous in real life. Like, you know, she was a right. woman in her 80s. Nobody knew she was the Jane Powell. And I introduced myself and I said it was such a thrill to be in an aerobics class next door. She was so nice. That's she awesome. Was really nice.
You see, yeah. You see, she shows you that age, you can still continue to be active no matter how old you are.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, we're chatting with Florence LaRue, Grace in Your Second Act, A Guide to Aging Gracefully. You mentioned in passing that you were talking about how beautiful, how you admired the beautiful Sophia Loren, and that you were watching her as you were sitting in the audience of Frank Sinatra's funeral. I got to ask you about Frank Sinatra's funeral, what that must have been like to attend the funeral that day.
Oh, I even get emotional as I think about it because he and I had a very special relationship. You know, the Fifth Dimension toured with Frank Sinatra. Actually, how I met him, we were performing in New York City at the Americana Hotel. And we'd been on the road for about 3 months, and I was quite hoarse. And I sang a beautiful song called How Insensitive. And after the show, this man came backstage and said, "Oh, what a beautiful job you did singing How Insensitive. I sing that in my show." That was Frank Sinatra, and that's how we met. And we ended up touring England with him. We did his special, and he, as a matter of fact, he asked me out. And, well, I won't kiss and tell, but I will say that he was nothing but a total gentleman and was very kind. Sitting in his funeral was really quite, as I said, emotional because of our relationship that we had. And there were many celebrities, but I didn't even notice who all was there. I did notice Sophia Loren because I was sitting behind her. She had almost no makeup on, her hair pulled back, and was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
That's incredible, though. That I didn't know that you... isn't that amazing that Frank Sinatra went backstage to personally compliment you on your song? You must have been blown away.
Well, you know, that's the funny part, Miss Lisa. I wasn't, because at the time, I heard of him, but I didn't really know who he was, you know. And when I first was around him, I would say, oh, silly things. Like he would say something and I'd say, oh, I guess you say that to all the girls, you know. And it was so funny.
Oh, that is funny.
But as I got to know him, not just know who he was, but as I got to know him, it was a very different relationship. And even as I think of him, my heart pounds.
So this was after Mia Farrow and before he got married to Barbara, what's her name? This was in between marriages?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, I love that. That's a great story. That's a great story. You must have so many great stories, Florence. We're chatting with Florence LaRue, and the book is Grace in Your Second Act, A Guide to Aging Gracefully. Now, this book that you've written, you talk about some of the people you admire that you consider to be style icons, and you include Michelle Obama, but also Audrey Hepburn, Jackie Kennedy, and even Sarah Jessica Parker, which I thought was a really good and interesting choice.
Well, you know, I'm an old-fashioned girl. At 80, I really, really admire the clothes of the 40s. And every time I watch Turner Classics and see those movies, it's, oh, I wish I had that suit. Oh, I wish I had that dress. Because the women, first of all, they look feminine and they look sensuous without being vulgar. I mean, there was not a lot of skin showing. It was just fascinating, and I loved Audrey Hepburn, the simplicity of Audrey Hepburn's clothing. You know, even though she wore pants, there was something feminine about them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women have lost their femininity trying to be equal. I don't know why, but I miss wearing dresses, and it's very difficult to find a dress today that I feel is appropriate, because even at 5'2", most of them are too short or cut too low.
Yeah,
and I'm
just
not comfortable. I've even thought of starting a clothing line of dresses that are feminine and sensuous, but still feminine and flirty.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's funny because yesterday I was at Temple and, you know, you're not supposed to be judgy, but you can't help yourself. And the truth is that a lot of these girls walked into Temple and I felt sorry for them because their parents allowed them to buy and they bought and what is sold to them at their age were the word short doesn't do it justice. How about 2 inches below underwear?
Right, and you wonder, you hope they don't drop something and have to bend over. Believe it or not, I took vocal lessons from a cantor. So I would go to Temple, and I was shocked to see these young ladies, and in my church, to see the way that they dress. I was going to put a chapter about dressing for church and Temple in the book, but I didn't want to be offensive. I didn't want to be judgmental.
Oh, that's the thing. Right. But we all can't help what we think, right, Florence? You can't help thinking, oh, my God, first of all, what mother allows their kid to go out like that? And secondly, who is designing for these children? Because they are aiming it right smack at their age. And sort of how dare they? Like, how dare they send a message to kids that they should walk around like this? It's terrible.
And they don't have a choice because, as I said, I went to buy a dress. There was nothing for me to choose from. Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying pants.
Yeah. I know. I agree with you. That's why I'm saying I felt sorry for the kids themselves because what do they know? They're 13 and 14. They think they're looking fashionable. And honestly, they're looking way too sexually suggestive. And it's ridiculous. And it's inappropriate.
But, you know, I do not blame the children at all because, as our Bible says, we adults need to teach them. You know, they don't grow up knowing that. We have to teach them.
That's right.
My mother would not have allowed me to go out of the house like that, even going to the grocery store or going shopping or the airport. They look like they're going to the beach.
Yep. I know. Exactly right. So, and your book, we're chatting with Florence LaRue, formerly of the Fifth Dimension, great singer and just
still of the Fifth Dimension. Ms. Lisa, I don't know if you're aware of it. A lot of the public isn't aware that the Fifth Dimension is still touring because we haven't recorded in ages. I'm the only original in the group, but we have a fabulous group of wonderful singers. We still perform to sold out crowds, singing our original songs in their original arrangements, and are still being very well received.
I didn't know that. I apologize, Florence. I didn't realize that. I'm glad you corrected me. Okay, well,
over
that's good,
50 years.
I love all the songs. I love all the songs, Stone Soul, Spear, all the songs. It was so great. What's the blind? A little
sweet
magic,
blindness.
A little kindness, right? Oh, sweet blindness.
Sweet blindness.
All over
a
me.
A little magic.
I love all those
songs.
Oh, yeah. That's the soundtrack of my growing up for sure. Great music. Great music. What do you think about when you write a whole chapter on dressing for the big occasion and guidelines for special occasion dressing? What do you think about the way a woman's bust and breasts nowadays are very prominently displayed in so many celebrities when they go out? What do you think about that?
Oh my goodness. But worse than that, Miss Lisa, what about the booties on television?
I can't.
You know, there's nothing covered anymore. Really? You see these award shows? Not only that, they're bending over. There's nothing left to the imagination.
And real sexiness is all about the imagination, isn't it?
But I don't think that's even sexy. I think we want to be sensuous. There's a difference in being sensuous, feminine, and being sexy or vulgar. You know, it used to be a man would see a woman, she'd have a beautiful dress, and, you know, he could use his imagination, but now it's all out there. And I think that's one of the reasons why women are being abused and molested because of the way we dress, not only and the way we're taught.
Yeah, well, that's very PNC. That's very politically incorrect to say, Florence LaRue, you know, because you're not allowed to say anything.
Well, I'm an old lady.
But,
I can say it.
You know what? I'm with you, and I'm not old, and I feel like I have to say it sometimes, too. I agree with you. I think there has – look, it doesn't – Nobody is going to say that it's a victim's fault for somebody, for a predator to do something that they shouldn't do. But on the other hand, you always have to have some common sense, right? You always, right? You have to have some common sense.
I mean, I see young girls walking down the street in shorts with their bottoms hanging out.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I sound like my grandmother. Now I understand.
You can't help it. You can't help yourself. We're chatting with Florence LaRue. Florence, there was something else I wanted to ask you. You know what I wanted to ask you about, which I loved in here? First of all, I love when you talked about buttons, because you remind me so much of my own mom and the way that she remakes clothes. She's always if she buys something and it basically has good bones, she takes it to the tailor and she remakes it. It sounds like you do the same thing.
A woman after my own heart. I have bought a blouse for like $2 at a resale store and bought and paid $5 for buttons, and it just transformed the whole outfit. I have a dress. It was a black dress with a gown with a slit up the side and long sleeves and a scooped neck, not high. I mean, not low. So I wore it to an event. Very, very classic. Well, I paid $200 for the dress, which at the time was a lot of money for me. I took it to my dressmaker. I had her take one sleeve off and wore it that way. Then I had her take the buttons off and put rhinestone buttons on it. I mean, I wore that dress so many different ways. I really got my $200 worth.
Yeah. No, that's really, I think that a lot of what you encourage people to do is have fun and be creative. And we tend not to think that way, but I think it's really a good advice for people to be creative in our own fashion and in our expression of ourselves. It's good advice.
Sometimes you can even buy an expensive blouse and it's got cheap plastic buttons on it, you know, I have an eye for fashion because I was blessed to have a wonderful designer, Boyd Clopton, who created the outfits for the original Fifth Dimension. And I learned a lot by listening and watching what he did with clothes. As you'll notice that in some of the older pictures, the three gentlemen often were not dressed exactly alike because they had different bodies. And that's where I learned to dress according to your body, not what you see someone else wear. For instance, I'm only 5'2", so I wear things that make me look taller or that accentuate the better parts of my body rather than trying to copy someone else who is perhaps tall and thin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also love what you talk about in your book about skin. There are a lot of different elements to your book about beauty on the outside of clothing, but you also talk a lot about the maintenance and hydration. And this is what you write on page 75. My body is like butter from head to toe. I love that. My body is like butter from head to toe. You say you don't want to snag your expensive sheets or worse, scratch your spouse. So you don't want to forget to moisturize thighs and feet and everything else. So your body's like butter, Florence. Is that right? That's fabulous.
I've had nurses and doctors comment on my body. I must say that I was blessed with the natural skin from my mother and grandmother. However, I do moisturize. And, you know, my grandmother never used anything expensive. She used to use, what was that? Horrible. It smelled terrible. That cream. Oh, I can't think of the name of it right now.
Noxzema? Noxzema?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that smell. My mother used to use that when I was growing up. I remember that smell. Oh, yeah. And it was white. White
that's
as can
what
be.
She used. Yes, yes.
I remember.
But it worked.
Smell. It did work. My mother has the most gorgeous soft skin ever. This is true. She's still alive now with the most beautiful skin. Absolutely. Florence LaRue, it's such a pleasure
book,
to talk
secret?
To you.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting some of those secrets of a Jewish mother from your book.
Oh, Florence, you know what? Can you give me your address and give it to Andrew? Just stay on for just a second. I would be so delighted to send it to you. You're going to see how much we have in common. We pretty much wrote the same book. It's pretty much the same book. But I love it, and I love getting to know you. And if you're ever in Connecticut, particularly in my Fairfield County, Westport area, I hope you'll stop by. We'll have dinner together. I really would love to meet you in person.
Oh, I look forward to it. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much. Florence LaRue on the Lisa Wexler Show. The book is Grace in Your Second Act, A Guide to Aging Gracefully. We'll be right back.